You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Remember, if you gamble, use your game sense, stay within your limits, go to gamesense.ab.ca. Pats joins us. Chris, welcome to the show, man. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How you doing today?
I'm doing pretty well. You know, it's interesting. Anytime I still think of the Patriots, I just think of a juggernaut, because for like decades, they were the team to beat in the NFL. And obviously, like in a lot of other sports, eventually there's a retooling time. The coach leaves, the Hall of Fame quarterback leaves, and Patriots really haven't been the same since. When you look at this year's team, what do you think is a realistic record for them?
I think if everything goes well, and that's to say if Drake May plays the way that I think a lot of people inside Gillette Stadium think he's capable of playing, Christian Gonzalez, Christian Barmore, Stephon Diggs, if all those guys hit their ceiling, I think 8 or 9 wins is a realistic total for this team. They've shown an awful lot of feistiness over the first week or so here at camp. I think that there's some real talent on this roster, but I think the ceiling for this team is 8 or 9 wins, and maybe the floor, if things kind of start to go bad, because there's really no margin for error with this roster, you're probably looking at a 5 to 6 win season. But I think somewhere in that range, I think, is reasonable to expect, especially after what the Patriots have gone through the last couple of years.
Yeah. How, like, are Pats fans, are they okay with that? Like, you get spoiled a little bit when you're as dominant as they were for decades. Do you find, is Pats Nation still okay with being bad, or are they getting pretty lacking in patience?
I think it depends on where the wins come this year, and I'll say that. I think if, let's say they finish the year winning like 4 out of 7, something like that, and they get to like 7 wins, and they knock the Dolphins out of the playoffs, I think that Patriots fans would be okay with that. I think that really in the end, they're just looking for a team to improve over the course of the year and be a kind of a pain in the butt to play against come November and December. So I think there's the understanding that this is going to take time to kind of turn around. I mean, there was only one team that's won fewer games over the last 2 years than the New England Patriots. That's the Carolina Panthers. So I think there is a level of patience, especially with the guy that they have in charge now and Mike Vrabel, that this is going to take a little while for them to get back to where they need to be. It's going to depend on a lot of things, like I said before, but it's going to take another year or two, probably two, to really get them to where they need to be.
And you look at it a lot of times in football to have success. If you've got a great quarterback, you're going to need a pretty good offensive line. And so this year at the draft, they got Will Campbell, the left tackle out of LSU. And, I see him number one on the depth chart on the left side. How much of a steadying force do you think he's going to be? I know it's only been a few days in camp, but does this guy look like the real deal?
I think today in run blocking, he looked excellent. I think in one-on-one situations in pass blocking today, specific to today, he struggled a little bit. Okay. Keon White, a defensive end, kind of really just picked him up and, moved him backwards. So I think he's still a mixed bag. I will say this, talking to a lot of the veteran defensive linemen on this team, they all seem to agree that while he had a bit of an uneven start in the spring, that this is the kind of young man who is interested in getting better moving forward. And so, he's staying after. He's watching a lot of film. He's talking to, other offensive linemen, other defensive linemen, working on ways to get better. So he is going to have to be – he's going to be one of those guys, one of those blue-chip players who's going to have to play, maybe exceed expectations this year, even though he was the 4th overall pick. This offensive line was a mess last season. And I still have a lot of questions about the offensive line and whether or not they'll be able to hold up over the course of a 17-game season to create a sustainable protection plan for Drake May. The goals for this offensive line are very, very modest in nature. It's to really just kind of create some sturdiness, some dependability. They've had 5 offensive line coaches in the last 5 years, so that hasn't helped either. They just want to kind of, create a level of calmness there and hope that things can kind of start to fall into place moving forward. They do have a couple of decent pieces, but it's kind of building on those guys in creating, like I said, a sustainable plan moving forward.
Well, 5, I didn't know that they had 5 different O-line. Like, because I know some people say, well, you know what, there's only certain things you can do in offensive line, but you're never getting to know your players. That's half the part of coaching, is really understanding them. And then it's, a new guy comes in, and now he has a different viewpoint, or you know, maybe some different terminology on things, and it's always a rotation. Their second pick was Trayvon Henderson, the young running back, and you know, they got Ramondre Stevenson. How do you think, is that going to be split duties? Do you think Henderson can push him? Will he eventually be the starter? What are you thinking about the running back position?
I think we're starting with a situation here, knowing that Ramondre Stevenson is going to be the number one back out of the gate. Right now, what we've seen is Henderson split carries with Antonio Gibson in kind of a modified third down back role.
Okay.
That's something that Josh McDaniels, who returned as the offensive coordinator, he's been very, very big on over the course of his coaching career, and he had a lot of success with guys like that in New England in the past, guys like Kevin Falk and Shane Vereen and Danny Woodhead. Those guys were staples of the Patriots offense. So I don't think that Henderson is going to take carries away from Ramondre Stevenson. I do think that he and Gibson, at least at the start, are going to share third down responsibilities. And so I could see Henderson having a large role as the season goes on. But I really think that's where the positional battle lies if you're talking about the backfield. Not so much with Stevenson, but when it comes to the third down back role.
Christopher Price joins us talking New England Patriots. There's a lot of people that were like, I wonder why he did it. Stephon Diggs signing with the Patriots, and obviously he's going to be their number one receiver. That's pretty obvious. And so, you know what, you got a young quarterback in Drake May, and you know, quarterbacks, you know, only as good as offensive line, and you need guys who can create separation. You can be the best quarterback ever, but if your receivers can't create separation, it's hard to get him the ball. I know Diggs is a little nicked up already, but you look at him and just the overall receiving core. Do they have enough weapons?
Yeah, I think I'll say this. I don't think they have enough weapons to be a playoff team, but I certainly think they have enough weapons. And we talked about the running game. You mix the wide receiver core in there. I do think that they have enough to be more competitive than they've been the last couple of years. Diggs comes in, like you said, he's obviously the number one guy, but they have a lot of guys who are really intriguing puzzle pieces. Pop Douglas caught 66 passes last year as the slot receiver. Slot receivers have traditionally thrived under Josh McDaniels. I can see him having a larger role going into 2025 than he had the last couple of years. Okay. Kyle Williams, a fourth-round pick, has been very, very impressive over the course of camp. And then Mac Hollins, he was signed away from Buffalo as well. And so, you know, you do have a decent foundation there. I think the really interesting thing is going to come at the back end of that wide receiver depth chart, because you have Jalen Polk, who was a second-round pick last year out of Washington. You have Javon Baker, who is a fourth-round pick out of Central Florida. You have Kendrick Bourne, who's been around now a couple of years. And you have a young man who is a UDFA, Efton Chisholm, out of Washington, Eastern Washington, the same school, I think Eastern Washington, who is really kind of pushing the rest of the group here in training camp. So you traditionally only take four wide receivers. And so you have Diggs, Pop Douglas, Hollins, and Kyle Williams. It's going to leave some very interesting names maybe out in the cold. So that's really, for me, when you talk about the Patriots wide receiving core, that's where the real questions start, the back end of that depth chart.
Okay. Looking at the Patriots, like, you know, all their top three picks were on the offensive side of the ball. So then you move over to the defensive side. Where's their strength, number one? And number two, where's the concern?
I think the strength is the front seven, specifically Milton Williams, Christian Barmore, and Keon White. That's a group that, if they stay healthy, has the potential to be absolutely devastating. I really do. The question there is Barmore, who was sidelined for a sizable chunk of the year last year with blood clot issues, is still a question mark as to whether or not he's going to be able to play 17 games. Then Milton Williams was tremendous in the Super Bowl for the Philadelphia Eagles, but he's never played more than 50%, 50-something percent snaps over the course of his career. So if he can take on more work, if Christian Barmore can stay healthy, and Keon White can do what they think he's capable of doing over a 17-game season, that group is going to be very, very good. The questions for me are the depth at cornerback. And Christian Gonzalez went down today. Christian Gonzalez has done very, very well over the first couple of years in the league. He went down today. We still don't know what the issue was. It didn't look serious, I'll say that. He limped off, but it didn't look serious. Behind that, they have Carlton Davis and not much else at the cornerback position. So in a pass-first league, you need as many cornerbacks as you have out there, And while they have Christian Gonzalez and Marcus Jones, who's been a good slot corner over the course of his career, and Carlton Davis has had some success over the course of his career as well. He's won a Super Bowl in Tampa. I think it's good, but I think in this era where teams are looking to attack those secondaries where there are question marks, I think for me, that's really where, you know, the issues could start to kind of manifest themselves. So, and then there's also too, I think there's some depth issues at the linebacker position, but that's not as big. But I think the defensive front can be very good. The cornerback spot, the depth there, I think, is a question mark for me moving forward.
So if you were, you know, for anybody out there who plays fantasy, who would you say is Hunter Henry a guy even to consider at the tight end position? Is Diggs the obvious guy, or do you see one that says, just from a purely fantasy standpoint, who is the most appealing Patriot to take?
This gives me an excellent excuse to mention the story that I have going up shortly on BostonGlobe.com about Hunter Henry. Hunter Henry is the closest thing to a sure thing the Patriots have had on offense the last couple of years. Look, offensively, it's been a mixed bag at best. But you can pretty much mark down Hunter Henry for 50-something catches and 600 yards and like 5 touchdowns. I know those aren't overwhelming Rob Gronkowski type of numbers, but if you're looking for a sure thing, I really like him. Kind of home runs, swing, you know, big swings. I think Diggs is going to get close to the 1,000 yards, if not surpass the 1,000-yard barrier that he's, you know, hit on an annual basis over the course of his career. And then I'd also, you know what, Trevion Henderson, those numbers have been good, and I think he'll be able to build on those as well. But if you want a sure thing, rock-solid guy, Hunter Henry Ooh. At tight end is the best call because, like I said, he's been the most reliable part of a pretty bad offense, a pretty bad passing game over the last couple of years. And I see no reason to think why he won't continue to at least put up good numbers going into 2025.
Awesome stuff, Christopher. I look forward to reading that coming up at BostonGlobe.com. Thanks so much for this. Enjoy the rest of the preseason.
Yes, thank you, guys. Take care. We'll talk soon.